Hello, I'm Dr. Gerald Chodak-Fametsky. Today I want to talk about a recent update to the PIVOT trial, prostate intervention versus observation trial. Wilt and co-workers began this trial in 1994, and they are now reporting on the results with a follow-up of about 19 and a half years. In this study, 731 men were randomized to watchful waiting or radical prostatectomy. The key results are the following. First, overall survival had a difference in favor of the surgery group of 5.5%. This compared to a difference in survival of 3% when they last reported the results in 2012. So the change was not very significant over this period of time. For the men, in terms of prostate cancer mortality, the absolute difference was 4% compared to 1.1% when they last reported the findings. Importantly, for men with low-risk disease, the difference in prostate cancer mortality was only 0.7%, but it was 14.5% for men with intermediate-risk disease. Somewhat surprisingly, the men with high-risk disease only had an improvement in cancer mortality of 2.3%. Now, overall, more men in the watchful waiting group did have disease progression in various ways, but most of them, or a high percentage of them, were due to rises or increases in their PSA level. Before making our conclusions about this trial, let's understand the potential limitations. First, to reach their enrollment of 731, they had to go through 5,000 eligible patients, so there could have been some selection bias with so many men refusing to participate. Another key difference is that of the men who were assigned to radical prostatectomy, 15% did not get that surgery. For the men assigned to watchful waiting, 20% actually had some form of definitive therapy. Both of these factors could have biased the results toward watchful waiting. Another aspect is that a third of the men were African American, which is higher than the general population. And since we know the disease in general is worse in that group, that bias could have worked in favor of the radical surgery. Another aspect is that the overall health of the population is lower than the general population when looking at an age-matched control. So if less healthy people were enrolled in the trial, it could have taken away the opportunity to help them improve their cancer-specific survival. So knowing that, what can we take away from this trial? Well, first of all, it clearly emphasizes again that for low-risk disease, the opportunity or possibility of benefiting from definitive therapy is extremely low, and this has been confirmed in other trials as well. That means that going forward, men with low-risk disease need to be presented with this information so they have an opportunity to decide whether definitive therapy is what they want. This trial clearly did show that men who had definitive therapy had a worse quality of life in terms of impotence and incontinence. The greatest benefit occurred for the men with intermediate risk disease. And going forward, they too need to understand the potential differences. Many men with intermediate risk disease are being offered active surveillance. One needs to do that with some degree of caution. The surprising results for high risk disease make two possible explanations. Number one, it's possible that more of the men in that group did not comply with their assigned treatment, meaning that men assigned to surgery didn't have definitive therapy and men assigned to watchful waiting did have definitive therapy. Both of those potential factors could have made the results for high-risk disease less advantageous than should have been. But another interpretation is that for men with high-risk disease, PSA may not be a good enough screening test, meaning that some cancer cells have already spread by the time the disease is discovered, and we may need a better screening test to find those men early enough to make a difference. The bottom line here is we have good information, as best as can be expected, from a large trial with long follow-up, demonstrating that the disease for the impact for low-risk disease is very small. The impact for intermediate-risk disease is rather significantly higher. Going forward, patients need to be provided with this information, and doctors need to be assured that they have this information when counseling their patients. Ultimately, the decision is going to come down to a patient's personal choice of their risk for tolerating side effects in order to have a small difference in cancer mortality. But for the low-risk group, that risk seems to be in favor of conservative treatment. I look forward to your comments. Thank you.